to talk about and to challenge other men about their male privilege. What can I say? What a deep dive I've had to do into my own life, into my own male privilege in its myriad of forms in my personal, professional, everyday life. As a male social worker, most of my colleagues are women, say probably 95 or more percent are women. They are some of the strongest, most compassionate and intelligent people that I've ever met. And some of the people that I have, I guess, the most respect and regard for in my life. And I think maybe I've had a bit of a unique experience in that regard. Several of these colleagues have had their own experience of intimate partner violence, or their own childhood family violence related traumas. And as a male professional in this space, I think it's really important to be a strong ally to my female colleagues, not only in the family violence sector, but broadly, you know, working in any workspace, really. But I guess in the context of social work, social and human services work, our goal is essentially the same. Our goal is around eradicating abuse, eradicating social discrimination, oppression, and social injustices. And this involves challenging dominant attitudes, ideas that promote sexism, racism, homophobia, other forms of oppression. I've worked very closely with female colleagues in the men's behavioural change space, and that's been a real deep process of learning, learning to be open to criticism, learning to be accountable as a worker, which is important, I think, in all workspaces, but in this perpetrator and family violence work, to be accountable, to the female colleagues that I work with, because it is a highly gendered space. It's a space where the gender inequality exists, in most workplaces, but we're actually trying to model what we talk about. And when I think back on some of the work that I did in the space, there have been times where my female co-facilitator would have pulled me up around things that I've missed in group, topics such as sexual abuse, which have been a blind spot to me in the past. And I've had to reflect. I've had to reflect on my facilitation style through the process of running several groups and noticing my own default position, where I'd seek safety by being more diplomatic and in group, whereas the female facilitator was often more direct and more forceful and challenging of the men, that I would sometimes seek that position of safety. And I had to reflect on this and reflect on how that style could then be quite damaging and quite collusive. It could reflect and play into the broader social narratives that that are drivers to gendered violence. Where women are portrayed as the emotional and men as a more sort of reasonable and rational. Those sorts of negative gendered stereotypes. So I've had to change my style over the years. And it's been through that process. It's been through the course of working directly with women victim survivors, with their children, and developing a fuller appreciation and a genuine empathy and understanding of the experiences of victim survivors, and just how real, how damaging family violence is. And I think that that's really helped to direct and inform my work. I've really see the need to be direct, to be really challenging to men that use violence. You often can't beat around the bush, and you can't be too diplomatic. So I guess on a personal level, I've had to reflect on my position as a male in my own personal life, the privilege that being male in this society brings, my family in this and in the community, in all different spheres of social life. And some of my own behaviours when this privilege is challenged, through this work, it's almost like a mirror gets held up to you, and I've seen the frailty of the male ego myself. I know that even in my own potential for turmoil, the threat of things of like betrayal and rejection, and can see that violence is a choice. It's a choice that many people can choose to go down and behave that way. I think one of the biggest misconceptions that men have around feminism and gender equality is that they're going to be sort of doormats to their partners and doormats to women. And it's not like that. It's it is what it exactly says. It's gender equality, and it's easy for men to feel oppressed and victimized and unfairly treated when all of a sudden you've got to rethink things that would usually be passed off as okay, and when you have to pull your weight on things that you haven't had to pull your weight before, or you have to pull your head in around things that are really just inappropriate. It's about equality, and it doesn't involve being a doormat. If anything, it involves being more human and more honest and genuine, more honest with yourself, more honest with other people, more responsible and considered. And we're a long way off from that, but I think that on a personal level, the work has certainly made me reflect a lot more, and has brought a lot more richness to my life. And it's funny because actually one of the unexpected outcomes of gender equality and social change in terms of men and women and you know, changing how we are in the world as men is that actually it's you know, it actually brings men closer together in a really positive and probably a more spiritual and connected way. And because, you know, dominant forms of patriarchy and sexism actually keep men apart, I believe, you know, in terms of genuine connection. And I think I actually believe when you know, when men hurt their family, that they actually hurt themselves and inflict pain on themselves. Not in all instances, but I think on a deep level, the man that's doing that often is inflicting the pain on himself too.